I don't know about you, but I cannot believe I'm taking down an old calendar tonight and putting up a new one. It seemed I just did it. But I have a good friend of mine, and he's up in the mountains of Kentucky, and he told me something he said, you know how to have a blessed new year? And I said, well, tell me, Joey. I would love to know. He said, well, at 12 o'clock tonight, lift up your left leg. That way you can start the new year off on the right foot. That's bad, isn't it? Any rocks coming my way? But anyway, he's a good old fellow there. But you know, 2024 is just right around the corner, and it's appropriate, I think, to preach from the first book of the Bible in chapter 1. And I think it's wonderful, and it's a reminder that God was around before anything existed. Now, I don't know about you, but that stretches my finite mind to no end. I mean, we can think of that in a sort of, esoteric way, but we can think of it in a sort of a way, but when it comes down to it, God was around when there was nothing else. And I just sit there and ponder about that and what was going on. But we have to remember eternal goodness lurks behind the beginning of creation. It says in several verses here that God saw it and he called it good. And it's amazing, there was goodness in God's plan of creation. It was a loving and God who created an orderly world, whose mighty power brought all things into being for a purpose that including placing us in this world. Now, you think before the earth was created and God was out here, just think, he knew we would be here on December 31st, 2023. That wasn't John Calvin who said it, it was God. And I think that's amazing. I just think it's amazing that God is so an integral part of our lives and souls and minds. But it blows me out of the water to think of such a thing. And we must remember this. The Bible is not concerned about science as we understand it. The ancient Bible writers did not attempt to produce a detailed account which centuries later is judged by the scientific methods of our day. Such methods may devalue or create confusion. For example, this happened to me in a completely different realm, but I was thinking it's similar how we modern people try to place the Bible and God's creation in a box when it's impossible to do so. But what happened to me, and I thought about this, and it actually happened, it happened to me about 7 years ago. I bought a bicycle. Now, it's no longer around because when I moved down here, I left it on my carport, and the climate and the rust destroyed it eventually. I'm going to get me a new one of these days. But as I was assembling the bicycle, I found out something. My tools did not work with it. Do you all know why? The bike was designed for metric tools, the metric system, and I only had the standard imperial inches, and it required millimeters. Now, that can create, and I tried, well, maybe I can adjust it and shift it over, but I had to go borrow a neighbor who happened to be a mechanic some of his tools to put that bicycle together, and I learned a good lesson. I better go out and buy me some metric tools or some of the more modern equipment, but two different measurement systems which were mismatched are not compatible. You know, that's what happens with people who think they're so sophisticated and clever that they've got the scripture figured out. That's not the way it works. Now, I'm not disallowing science. Please hear me out, because I think science and religion go very well together. But they're totally two different realms. And we have to realize that. And the gauge used with interpreting and understanding the Bible requires what? The Holy Spirit. not necessarily human ingenuity. I'm not saying reasoning is not involved. Reasoning is. But it's the Holy Spirit which allows us and opens our minds up to what God desires us to do. The universe was unshaped, undeveloped, and unfinished. These are words of chaos and hopelessness, but maybe that is the point of the matter. All of us at one time or the other have found something in our lives which could be described with words like formless, empty, and bleak. If you've ever been to a Presbyterian meeting and they're interviewing, having a candidate stand there and up for ordination, if I hear it one more time from the pulpit from a candidate, and they use that scripture out of 1 Corinthians, all things should be done decently in order. I know that's the motto of the Presbyterian Church. I'm going to have to get me a waste paper can, you know. But the thing is, and what I'm saying is, God is the God of decency and in order. Remember that. God is not the author of chaos. So God created our world and universe with plenty of order. And that's the important thing to remember. God did not have a mumble-jumble thing like we shake whatever it is, like you're using shake and bake in your chicken and you shake it up. God did not create the world like that. God called the world, the universe, into creation. And that's how God did it. Now, I'm interpreting according to my finite mind, but according to the scripture, that's what God did. Throughout this world, we encounter people who feel as if these words of chaos and happen chance characterize their lives as well, with little or no hope. There is hope out there. There is a lot of hope. Yes, we read tragic things. You know, I finally got cable after umpteen years of waiting on the cable box to come. And now that I have cable and watch the news, I don't want to watch it anymore. All it is just bad news. Well, the Bible speaks of good news. That's what gospel means in the Greek, good news, evangelio, which also can mean evangelism or evangelist, but it is good news. So when you're glued to the TV set, regardless of what news broadcast, CNN or Fox or whatever, turn it off and get your Bible and start reading the good news instead of letting these paid news reporters tell us what is going on. Now, I'm not saying be an ostrich and put your head in the sand and you're not informed. We need to be informed. But it can taint us very badly. It can leave a bad taste in our mouth when we look and say, oh, it is bad. You know, you hear about explosions and terrorists and the economy and who's going to win the presidency and who's not. And you know what? After a while, you've had enough of it. I do. And so consider this. God is not confined just to heaven, but he reigns over the entire universe. We need God's creative power, plus place ourselves under God's care and let him direct us. Ever looked back on tough times and see what God has accomplished in your life? Perhaps there is a reason when we go through troubles which could benefit someone else later with a similar problem. Reverend William Law, an 18th century English clergyman, said once, if anyone can tell you the shortest, surest way to all happiness and perfection, they must tell you to make it a rule to yourself to thank and praise God for everything that happens to you, good and bad. For it is certain that whatever seeming calamity happens to you, if you thank and praise God for it, you turn it into a blessing. Let me say something. Sunday, our Christmas Eve service, I was chewing my fingernails a few days in advance. I said, oh, I hope everything comes together. God, we're going to have to do something. I mean, he said, do something to make it a fabulous service for everybody in attention. And there I was, still biting my fingernails in a figurative sort of way. It was one of the best services I've ever been in. And but it's not because I was the preacher. I think the music, the choir, the congregation, the sacraments that were done of the Lord's Supper and baptism, it all just came in together. And it didn't require my Elmer's glue to keep it stuck together. God's Spirit was here Sunday night. God's Spirit's here today, by the way, also. But let me tell you, I got caught up in all this excitement. And you know what? The next day is when I thought about thanking God for the wonderful service we had. Now, this is the preacher confessing to everybody that I guess I got so wrapped up and everything like that, I forgot to thank the source who was responsible for all this. So remember this. Thank God for all the things, big and little, in your life. You know, you can. There's blessings can be found even under the most dismal circumstances. I used to have a couple in a former church of mine, husband and wife. One of them I called Doom and the other Gloom. And needless to say, they always saw the dark side of the moon. But you know, I learned a lot from them because they did have a lot of wisdom. Even though they did look on the negative side. And I've always been somewhat of a positive thinker, but I learned a lot from them because they were very cautious about things. And I learned to be more cautious. Now, that doesn't mean my hands were tied back, but when God says do something, I try to attempt to do it. But they taught me something that always think things over before you jump into it. And I learned also, ask God about it too. Because if you don't, it may not turn out the way you want. It may turn out in the worst way. And by the way, I prayed for the service last Sunday, but still yet my human side came out in me that I was worried. And why did I worry? If God's in control. And so I just allowed God to take over. And I was so glad I did. I told my sister, she came in that evening. I said, I feel so fatigued. And she said, why are you fatigued? I said, well, I guess I just let things get to me. And she said, well, God worked them out, didn't he? I said, he sure did. So we have a lot to praise God for. And I hope you remember this past Christmas as a time of blessing for you. Yes, the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the deep. But something interesting occurred. God was there the entire time. What an incredible gift and discovery to know that when God is needed the most in our lives, he is waiting to bless us. There may be a crisis at any stage of life when it seems as if all is just dismal. I'll use the term doom and gloom again. But right there on the edge, we discover God. The famous scientist Sir Isaac Newton was a tremendous person of faith. He is known as one of the pioneers of science and scientists. But he was also a person who believed in God completely. Even so, as a devout Christian, he faced some very figurative mountains to overcome to reach his notable achievements. He had to flee London in 1665 because of the bubonic plague. And he had to go back to his hometown. And he set up his laboratory in his house he had inherited from his mother. And Oxford and Cambridge universities were shut down. Reminds us of the COVID that happened here a couple of years ago. And in 1666, he still couldn't go back because the Great Fire of London, it eliminated the rat population and stopped the bubonic plague, but it burned most of the city down. But, you know, in the meantime, as I said, he moved back to his childhood home. And there, he was out in his yard one day, sitting under an apple tree. And you know, remember that story? An apple fell down from the tree, and Newton discovered the theory of gravity. That was number one. And Newton's faith played a role in that episode, but was also the facilitator, his faith was, which led to his discovery of something very amazing. We wouldn't have the space shuttle in the sky if it hadn't been for Sir Isaac Newton's discovery of the mathematical phenomenon called calculus. Now, I don't know much about calculus. I only went to geometry. Some of you probably took calculus in high school and college, but I was too frightened to take calculus. So anybody knows calculus, I take my hat, if I was wearing one, off to you for doing that. But that's what Newton did. But Newton was a tremendous person of faith. God is always waiting, watching, and wanting to create something extraordinary in our lives. I have a man over at Fort Meade. Tomorrow's his 88th birthday, and he's a January the 1st baby. I said, I want you to tell me next year when you turn 89 how the 2024 was in your life, because I have a feeling you're going to achieve some important goals in your life. And you know, that is, it does not stop with age. You can still have remarkable things happen to you if you're 99, 89, or 9 years old. Never forget that. God does not stop because of some physical age or birth or something like that. We can have some wonderful things happen to us if we only believe that God will carry it out for us, and God will do so. If we are willing to allow God to do whatever, that is exactly what He does. On the first biblical day, God brought light to the earth. And that's what God does when He begins working in our lives and continually works in our lives. It's not a one-time happening. It continues all the way through our lives. And you know, I have a feeling it's going to even continue in heaven too. I've never met anybody to come back from heaven yet, but from what I've read in the scripture, I think we're going to have even some tremendous things going on in heaven. And so God brought light to the earth. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. So when people discover God, they find the light of Jesus Christ. In that light, there is hope, promise, and future. It is then to our amazement, we find that God has been there all along. Now, as God is trusted more and more, He is going to be doing greater things than ever in our lives. If God blessed Sir Isaac Newton, God will use you as well. God can use anyone in this sanctuary. Some of you may this year aspire to some new heights that you never imagined. Some of you may end up to say, well, I'm going to learn how to play the piano. Or perhaps, you know, Oliver Wendell Holmes, a Supreme Court justice, started studying Greek when he was 90. He said he's never too young, old to learn something. So never age yourself out. I mean, there could be some wonderful things happen. Tina could become a trapeze artist before the end of next year. I mean, there could be some fabulous things happen to all of us. Yes, there will still be uncertain moments, even some confusion when it's difficult to see which road to take. But when God is trusted, His light comes flooding through. While reading and meditating on the Bible, seek God's guidance through prayer. He turns darkness into light. Life is not an accumulation of material objects, nor measured in days or years. It is a full and abundant life, aided by grace, related to our commitment to God. And God can do so much and take all those broken pieces and dreams to recreate them into something magnificent. You know, there's people out there that, you know, you can talk to, and they're disappointed with life. may be family, you never know, children, grandchildren. It may be a spouse, it may be something that you never even imagined. But God can work it all out. God can take us and use us regardless of the blemishes. And I don't know anybody in this sanctuary in the world's perfect, but God can use our imperfections for His glory. Do you all ever remember a man named Chuck Colson? Chuck Colson had power galore, influence, and prestige when he went to prison because of wrongdoing in the Watergate scandal of the 70s. For those of you who are under 40, you probably don't even recall the Watergate scandal. But it was during President Nixon's administration. And Colson went to prison. Yet it was in prison that Colson met Jesus Christ. As a result, after release from prison, Colson began his astounding prison ministry, which continues to this day, that ministry does. He had a ruined life with a new beginning. Don't forget that. Whatever status your life is now, God can take it and use what you have to make His glory come through. Never sell God short because, as I said earlier, He can salvage anything. Are you listening? He can salvage anything. Colson died several years ago, yet his ministry continues and thrives through most prison systems in the United States and even some overseas. So Chuck Colson, of course, when he first became a Christian, a lot of people said, oh, that's just a prison conversion experience. It wasn't. It was a thoroughly God-sent conversion experience. So remember that. If it could happen to Chuck Colson and how Chuck Colson's life was completely revamped, it can happen to us. Now you're saying, well, I don't have that big a problem. No, but sometimes we hit some potholes in the road, don't we? And it can knock the steering wheel out of our hands. So remember, God can take care of all that. Have you that courage to believe through faith what God can do in your life now? I think you do. Let us pray. Oh, Lord, sometimes life can mistreat us in ways that we never thought could happen, but we know that You are in control of all the happenings in our world, in our own lives as well. We may not be able to control events overseas or even in our own neighborhood, but we know one thing: we can control what's going on in our lives, but by relying upon You. Thank You, Lord, for creating us, and thank You for this past year, both good and bad. Help us, O Lord, as we start a new year. Let us start it off knowing that You are truly, truly in our lives. This we pray through the name of Christ our Savior. Amen.